You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Making your lousy commute fun.
Noodles doesn't know how to swim.
How are you 45 years old and not know how to swim like
this? He's got a pool.
So you think if we threw Noodles in at a party in the deep end, he would drown?
That's exactly what would happen.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Little Toby Keith on a Monday afternoon.
Nothing wrong with Toby.
Pretty good trivia question. One of only three or four acts to show up at Trump's inauguration. Toby Keith, I believe, played at Trump's inaugural address. I'm pretty sure he was playing there.
But regardless of what his political background is, I've always been a fan of Toby Keith.
Yeah, I'm a fan too. I like that song. That's a great tune. That one in particular, very good song. One of the few songs I could probably sing start to finish.
Really?
Yes. I don't know why.
I like his song. Where
it's an easy one to figure out.
Good as I once was. That's a
gritty bar tune.
Oh yeah.
Friday night with the boys. Have at it.
The video's really good too. I enjoy that.
Rod Black coming up in about 20 minutes. Rod was down at Scotiabank Arena. The whole city was, I think, excited that they got to hear from Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
The fact that he showed up. Like, I always expected he was going to show up.
But was there something in the back of your mind?
Had to be, because we didn't hear anything from him all year. The belief was the Raptors were trying to get him in front of the media last week, to get him into town a little bit early. And something happened. I don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, that did not end up taking place. But he showed up today, up there with Masai, up there with Danny Green. And I said in the 4 p.m. hour, this may be the first time in history where an English-speaking athlete will have an English interpreter. And that's going to be the role of Danny Green. Because Green's going to have to speak on his behalf.
Yeah.
At least for a couple of weeks. You know, that's what I think today really meant for me is, okay, we got the awkwardness out of the way.
Right.
Kawhi's got no interest in speaking with people. He's an introverted guy. That's fine.
Right, right.
Show up. Say what you're supposed to say, which was, I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to playing. He doesn't have to commit long term.
No.
Nobody with 1 year left on their deal has to commit to anything. And Masai Ujiri, actually, if there's one thing I've learned from this offseason, and I think I've known this for a long time, he was asked about making more roster moves between now and the beginning of the season, and everyone's buzzing about Jimmy Butler being available. And someone reported out of Minnesota this weekend that the Raptors are interested. And Masai said something along the lines of, I haven't had any conversations.
Right.
Based on what happened with DeMar and Kawhi, why should we ever believe what Masai says about working the phones? And that's not a slight on him. That's just a reality of pro sports. Publicly, they're going to say, nothing's going on. Right. Behind the scenes, of course something's going on.
The minute that Butler, it even rumbled that he was wanted out, like, Masai, if he doesn't call the agent to find out, then he's not good at his job.
Exactly. 29 teams call immediately.
Absolutely. Like, call or text and be like, hey, just so you know, we're interested in his services if he becomes available.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what your job is to do. So I always think it's hilarious when you hear, like, well, this team was in on it. Oh, that manager was called. That's their job. Their job is to know the league, to be in touch with all the agents, to see who's potentially coming up, who could potentially 2 years from now be acquired in a trade, or that's their job. So when it leaks out that, oh, this Team X put together this package, they better have a package put together. Masai, in his office, should have, if there was a trade available for any player, he better have a package put together.
Absolutely.
It's not,
especially a prominent player. You know, a guy like Jimmy Butler who's got 1 year left on his deal, but you've already made the big step. You know, you acquired Kawhi Leonard. You proved this offseason you can make drastic changes, even though you won 59 games a year ago. And he did it in two different ways. He acquired Kawhi, and by doing so, he shipped out the longest tenured Raptor, I believe, in team history, and a guy with all the stats and all the numbers in DeMar, but also got rid of the greatest coach in franchise history in Dwayne Casey and brought in Nick Nurse. So Nurse was introduced in a way to the media today in terms of this new season. I mean, he did have a presser after he got hired, but that was more about the past. Today was more about the future.
So where's the pressure lie?
Because I think with Nick Nurse.
This team won 59 games last year, but has had the same fate in the playoffs.
So, and without LeBron, Because that was always the greatest cop-out. Like, as much as it would sting that you'd lose to LeBron, right, it was the greatest excuse.
Like, how are we going to beat this guy?
The greatest excuse maybe in sports history was, what do you want me to do? They've got LeBron.
Okay.
LeBron went to the NBA Finals 8 years in a row. We heard it from the Raptors. Well, we weren't the only team that lost. Every team lost to him.
Right.
Well, that's true, but when you add context, you know, teams brought them to 7 games in the first round.
Right.
Celtics took them to 7 games in the Eastern Conference Final. The Raptors get swept, and they choked out, and they look bad. But right, now that LeBron is out, you know, that is not something you can fall back on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pressure on Kawhi, because he wants to get paid regardless of who's going to pay him.
Right.
Kawhi has to prove that he's worthy of being labeled a top five player in the league. Nick Nurse is a rookie head coach with the highest expectations the team has ever had.
Should there be simpler expectations for Kawhi? Like, how about play the games? Play 80 games.
Yeah, that's pretty basic, but there's honesty behind that.
Like,
give me not even 82. Give me 70 and be healthy for the playoffs.
Right, give me a healthy season. You're right. Maybe they rest him some nights, or, you know, back-to-back games, however you want to do it. But give me a full season. And then, because that's what I would be concerned about, any team wanting to hand him a monster check. Like, again, the reports, we don't know. We're not privy to what behind the scenes happened.
In San Antonio.
But 9 games out of 82 is not a lot of work.
And the league knows what's up, right? Like, the league, Masai knows.
There's rumble, like, every player. Guaranteed, every NBA player.
Danny Green definitely knows.
For sure.
Like, Danny Green was in the room in San Antonio and was a vet who had won rings.
Right.
Like, he would have been strongly and heavily involved in everything that took place with the team. I mean, we always looked at Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, but Danny Green is right behind them in terms of tenured players in San Antonio. He's in his 30s, seasoned vet. He had feelings about Kawhi last year, and I'd be curious to find out what they are today, but I don't think he's going to reveal them, and it's not wise for him to reveal them. You're into a new scene now. Now it's about pumping the tires of Kawhi, which I think Danny Green did well today. Rod Black would join us in about 15 minutes. Get his take on what the mood was like down there, the buzz down at Scotiabank. The Leafs are in action tonight at Scotiabank. It's a throwaway game. The rosters are not NHL level.
I will say this, though. It's an evaluation game for the right players. Mike Babcock knows what his top power play is going to look like. He knows what, you know, Frederik Andersen can bring to the table. But where are the pressure points of it's the shaping of the roster? You know, who's going to be my fourth line centerman? Lindholm, you know, it looks like he's going to get every opportunity to play 18 minutes tonight. Who's going to be my backup goalie? There's still some question marks there. Who's going to be my sixth defenseman? Wide open battle there. You know, is Dermott healthy? I don't even know.
The Dermott conversation is legit for me. I don't see a fifth centerman that's going to push Paul Lindholm out to start the season.
Right.
I think they're going to give Lindholm the opportunity.
Where's the GOAT in all of that? Like, the GOAT's on the wing.
The GOAT's on the wing now. Like, the GOAT, I don't think the GOAT factors in.
Okay.
I think he's a depth guy with the Marlies. He'll play some games this year. Wouldn't shock me. Yeah. There's going to be injuries and suspensions or whatever. But I think Lindholm will get the first 5 or 10 games, and then they'll make a determination after that.
So it's his spot to lose in your mind.
It feels that way. And I think just based on what Babcock has said,
right,
that seems reasonable. Travis Dermott, though, was a lock 2 weeks ago. I'm not convinced he's a lock anymore.
Opening night.
Yes.
Right.
I believe he'll be on the team the majority of the season.
Right.
Cali Rosen has had a better preseason. Now, Dermott's been injured. He got injured the first game, and he didn't play a ton in the first game. Rosen has been impressive. You called the game in Ottawa with
him. I thought
he
was really good that night.
He looked very smooth. There's a reason they keep bringing up how important he was in that Calder Cup run, because Dermott was on that team, and Rosen was the guy who was playing all the minutes. So I think Rosen has made it interesting in terms of that spot on the third D pair.
And you know, you brought up an interesting point last hour about, you know, Dubas's ties to the Marlies. Because you're right. He's the general manager of the Maple Leafs. So technically, I know he has to care about the Marlies, but he has to care about his number one team, which is the product of the Leafs. But Kyle's comments about his D have rung true with rung. It's just stuck in the back of my head. Him saying, I want to be bullish with my D. I believe in them more than other people on the outside do.
Doesn't he have to say that, though? He's not going to come out and be like, I got to be honest, I'm with you guys. I'm panicking here. We're weak on the back end.
You haven't heard, again, smoke and fire. You haven't heard where the Leafs have been at active trade talks for an upgrade in any position on the back end. Right now, I mean, they could come out of left field because everything that comes out of Leaf camp is nothing, really, from the management. So you could come out of nowhere and acquire a player, but I believe that they just want to grow in-house, see where Dermott's at, see where Rosen's at, see where Hall's at. You need Zaitsev to have a better year off of injury where he lost 20 games last year to injury. You know, they're going to just, I believe, preach patience with their back end, hopefully have six puck-moving guys, or at least that could advance the puck. Carrick's another guy that, you know, I was reading an article about him and his advanced training and how hard he works. And, you know, it's I think they're going to stand pat and allow the dust to settle. So if it's Rosen who has pushed through, they certainly know what he's capable of at the AHL level, but they may give him every opportunity, kind of like a Par Lindholm where, hey, we believe that this guy has got to play himself out of this position. Rosen could be the guy that on opening night roster, hey, I've slid in there. Again, that could change in a week because, you know, Dermott played very well last year, and I think he projects ceiling-wise to be a guy who could be in your top four.
Yeah, he's a legit NHL talent. It's just more about what his attitude
experience,
has been, and we don't know that behind the scenes.
Right, we're not.
As he felt complacent, he wouldn't be the first athlete who, after a taste, and a very good taste at that, thought, I'm in.
Right,
you and then
you're the lock of the century.
The team had to say, you know what?
We
actually
call them
you're not.
2-year tenures. So your second year, a lot of times after your first full season or your first taste in the National Hockey League, that summer you're kind of a big shot. You train hard. You've made it. But the next year there's a lot of pressure on you to take that next step. I think they're looking at Dermott and saying, we're expecting a next step, but with that comes responsibility. And Mike Babcock doesn't let young guys off the hook whatsoever. So I think he could be a guy that he pinpoints as, okay, make sure you're ready here night in and night out because I'm going to be relying on
it. And that's the way it should be.
Yep.
Leafs Habs tonight right here on TSN 1050. You can watch it on TSN 4. The O-Dog will be back in a moment. He's doing a hit right now. So Connor McDavid, I guess, did an interview with GQ.
Yeah, I was reading it.
And full-blown, like, photo shoots and all that. I find this one quote very difficult to believe. Now, you got to speak up for your hometown. You were from Edmonton.
Yeah, I grew up in St. Albert, Alberta. Yeah.
So he was asked, how miserable was the town of Edmonton during a losing season last year? Mm-hmm. Which, you can imagine, it was miserable. They had high expectations.
They're hockey crazy, too. They're just
and everything
a smaller
fell apart.
Market than here, right?
He said, quote, this is McDavid, it was awful. It was terrible. It was miserable around town. I remember everyone just chirping at you all the time. I was at dinner one time with my parents, and I was walking out, and guys were chirping me.
Well, that was actually
are you
caught
kidding
on camera.
Me? People were chirping Connor McDavid?
I remember there was a video online of some jackass making a comment. But that, like,
there's no way that guy's an Oiler fan, though.
No, like, he's an idiot.
I understand that, but I get it if, like, Milan Lucic, as much as you shouldn't do this.
Right.
Lucic was brutal last year.
Yeah, he had a terrible year.
He's overpaid, probably, or he's handsomely paid. You should never do this, ever. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying I could understand it. If Lucic walked out and some guy said, hey, nice season you're having. Yeah. You know, how's that $6 million treating you? But McDavid? Like, how do you chirp Connor McDavid?
Because you're a drunken idiot. That's what I would say. And that's probably what I remember that exact, because it was caught on film.
Really? Like seeing that.
Yeah. But the thing is, you're going to chirp Lucic? If he turns around, he'll rip your head right off.
And listen, man, all bets are off. If you want to get in the ring with chirps, then you got to hold
but
your own.
I would ask, like, do you remember here in Toronto when things were rough? I think there were jackasses around here that would chirp Dion.
Yes. There were, but Deion is not McDavid. The point I'm getting to
is... Yeah, McDavid's the best player in the world. This is
like Angels fans, Mike Trout walking out and being like, nice season, Trout, you loser. Right. That's Trout, who's still pulling his weight, and he's the best player in the league.
McDavid was the best player in the league last year.
He had 108 points. He won the Ted Lindsay.
You're chirping the wrong person. It's just... First and foremost, people who chirp like that are idiots.
Completely idiotic. They're the small
minority, because I would guarantee you, for the most part, if Connor McDavid was out for dinner anywhere with his parents, I think people would be respectful and allow them to just have some privacy, and then afterwards try and get an autograph, try and get a picture. And McDavid, I'm sure, would expect that. That happens all the time. Like, you know, I've had conversations with... Like a guy like Phaneuf. Phaneuf said he'd be at the mall and people were awesome to him. He said he loved this market. But like anything, you get a few bad apples that give everyone else a bad, you know, bad view.
So yes.
It obviously hit a nerve with Connor, the fact that he brought it up.
And he remembered that.
But I do remember that on Instagram or wherever, one of these on Twitter, somebody filmed it. And people were like, you're an idiot. Like, you're right. You're chirping LeBron, and LeBron's team is brutal.
Exactly. LeBron, like, when Cleveland was struggling at times in the regular season last year.
You're chirping LeBron
instead of... You're
going to
chirp LeBron? Like, go chirp J.R. Smith.
That's what I say. Smith or...
you know, or chirp the GM or whatever.
Right. It just doesn't make sense. But that shows the level of idiocy you're dealing with.
Well, that's
from
true.
That fan. Not the fan base, but that loser
that
of a fan.
Immediate...
That dope,
exactly. Tiger went Happy Gilmore yesterday. That was so cool, walking up 18 in the whole crowd.
That's awesome.
You know what was funny about it? And I still haven't seen the video, but I know what happened. Someone ate it badly running up 18.
Really?
Well, I'm convinced. I can't say that it's 100% true, but when you get that many people... That's like bulls on parade in a way.
So somebody fell.
Somebody blew a wheel, and I hope they didn't get trampled or anything. But camera guys were trying to keep up.
Yeah.
The security was trying to keep up. Tiger, as much as that would have been a surreal moment, and I think afterwards you could look back on it and say that was really cool, in the moment I think you'd have to be nervous. Wouldn't you, that some idiot's going to come over that's been drinking heavily, put you in a headlock or something?
Security wasn't that tight. There was people just trying to throw their arms out. Like, I'm surprised that there wasn't, you know, the jackass fan that we were just talking about who's been overserved that tries to go give him a high five.
That's what I'm saying. Go in and give him the hug and the high five.
The smack on the ass.
Hey, attaboy, Tig.
It would be bad. I think it would be bad for golf, bad for the sport if somebody did that. But I think there was that layer of respect where everyone just felt they were a part of it. They're like, hey, I got to be close as I can to this feeling.
Oh, I understand that. Like, I would be doing the same thing, trying to run up the fairway. I wouldn't be behind the ropes and 25 people deep. You'd never be able to see anything.
No.
So I can understand why, you know, all hell broke loose.
But that surge of people
was... But it had to be nerve-wracking, man.
But Tiger...
He handled it like a pro, like a champ, like you would expect.
I actually looked at that and I said, that is his life every day, really, but not physically, but like online. All eyes are on this guy anyways. Like, that's how a star of his magnitude must feel every second of the day.
It's Truman Show. Like, that's what it is. It's Tiger Woods, LeBron James.
Yeah. In Edmonton, Connor McDavid.
In specific markets, Connor McDavid, sure.
But that's what it is. And so it was not, I'm sure the pressure was there for Woods, but I think he's lived it. That's why he was able to just, you know, what is that in the Costner movie? Lock in the mechanism
when he's
the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what he was able to do, just knuckle down. And I think it was awesome. Even if you're not a golf fan, to watch that. If you are a sports fan or
it's a comeback, man. If you're a movie fan, if you believe in storytelling, love them or hate them, that was triumphant yesterday. And a lot of people didn't see it ever happening again.
Yeah,
it's an incredible scene. It was a cool scene down at Scotiabank. Kawhi Leonard officially introduced to the media today. Masai was down there. Kyle Lowry, Nick Nurse, and our main man Rod Black was down there as well. He will join us next. Don't forget the 2018 Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer in support of Princess Margaret is this Saturday at Woodbine. If you know someone that's participating in the tournament, show your support today. Visit teamuptoconquercancer.ca and look for the green button that says donate. Rod Black will join us here in a moment. He was down at the Scotiabank earlier this morning, for the Raptors Media Day.
I just got to say one thing. I heard you guys talking about Tiger Woods. One thing that kind of strikes me as odd, like, I love Nick Caroli. Do you know him? He works in the building here.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger had the, like, his Twitter feed, his verified Twitter was like, the boss wins one, Tiger Woods. And Nick Caroli writes, congrats, bro.
As if he knows Tiger.
But it's like, do you think that he's going to, or it was like, congrats, dude, or congrats, my man. Or and I'm like, he's never going to acknowledge, like, do you think that he's going to acknowledge that?
What if he wrote
back? Nick's one of my favorite guys in the world, but no, Tiger Woods is not going to say, thanks, my guy.
I know, man. You see these people with millions and millions of followers, and someone feels like an obligation to respond to a tweet, but they're like the 15,000th comment, and it's like, what's the point of you chiming in on anything?
You know what? I read them every day. Because the president tweets, and do you ever read the replies?
I do it every day. I read like people replying to Trump. But if you're the first one to reply, then people are going to see that. But he gets like 7,000 replies. If you're the 55th hundredth, did I say that right? Yes. 55th hundredth.
Yeah.
No one's ever going to see that.
I know.
No one's going to like it. No one's going to retweet it.
Tiger's not going to say, Nick, thanks, my guy.
Cheers, bro.
What if he did send back like a thumbs up or something to Nick?
I did get Rory McIlroy one year.
Because
I like to screw with people and be like, send out false stats, and but that's so obvious. And Rory had won like two majors, and he made a comment on the long putters. And I said, Rory, until you win a major, don't comment on the putters. And he wrote back, I've won two. And I said, I got you, dude. I didn't expect that from you.
He actually responded to you?
My favorite.
I'll find it for you.
I remember my favorite
trolling tweet of O's was when he said Patrick Kane just made Team Canada with that play. And people are like, he's American.
Yeah, he's American.
Oh, it's
he's
so
American.
Easy. It's so easy to rile people up. Rod Black.
Legend.
Mustache and all. We're pushing for it. We've been pushing for it for years. He was down at Scotiabank Arena earlier this morning, Raptors Media Day, and he joins us now. What's up, Rod?
Guys, how are you?
You just
bringing that thing back. I gave it to Borat. It's over.
Yeah. What about the swimming suit?
I gave that back, too. It didn't fit. I put it on backwards. It fit better.
What was the mood like down there this morning?
Oh, guys, as probably you saw, I don't think a media day has ever been broadcast live on a few networks. I went to a zoo or a TMZ cocktail party, and their media day broke out. It was full on. And I guess obviously because not many people had heard from Kawhi Leonard since the trade was made, I think that was obviously, you know, the reason that there was such a party down there. I mean, I couldn't believe it. There was everybody. When I walked into the Scotiabank Arena, it was insane. Again, the media day has been held down at the BioSteel Center the last couple of years, and it was kind of a getaway party for the team. They're going to Vancouver. You grab a couple interviews, you do some stuff for the season, and you move on. But this was full on, and the Raptors treated it like that.
What'd you make of the Kawhi laugh, Roddy?
I thought it was it. What did you make of it, O-Dog?
I just think I don't care how much money you make, how famous you are. You toss that one out in the bar, it's going to hurt your chances. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it's different.
I've tried that laugh in the bar, and it hurt my chances a lot during the years. I had a chance to chat with Kawhi off of camera today, and I've interviewed him in the past. And I think there seems to be a notion that, you know, especially, and maybe it's our Canadian way that, you know, we want everybody to accept us, and, you know, we want to make sure that you're, you know, on board with us and
be happy,
you know, everybody
being here.
Be happy being here. Well, you know, that's not the way it works in life sometimes. And I think Kawhi Leonard kind of said all the right things and kind of laughed the way he laughed. But he was cryptic in some ways. I thought he had one comment where he said, you know, something along the line of, you know, wherever I land. And I kind of noticed Masai Ujiri kind of give his head a little twist at the point. But Kawhi Leonard doesn't talk a lot. And, you know, I don't think anybody should read in too much into that. He's not a big conversationalist. He's He is not Danny Green, who is an exceptional interview. He kind of reminds me of LeBron, the way LeBron used to be before LeBron got very well schooled in front of the microphone. Keep in mind, too, where has he been the last few years? It's not exactly a media mecca. And, you know, this is just the way it has been with him. And so I'm not going to read too much into anything. I'm going to judge the way Kawhi Leonard plays on the floor. But I thought he had the line of the day. I really did. And to paraphrase, it was, you know, I'm not going to worry about you. We'll start worrying about tomorrow and you'll trip on today. And I thought that was a great line. And I thought he handled it pretty well.
Where do you see Kyle Lowry at? Has he got rid of the pouty face that his buddy left town and maybe there's a better player in town and maybe move on and be happy about that and let's do good things here? Or is
Kyle Lowry is Kyle Lowry. I mean, he is what he is, and that's the way he always has been. And if you're around him a lot, you just get used to it. And he's a fascinating character, but he's better when he plays with an edge, and he always has been, and he will always be that way. I think he'll be fine. Everybody was worried about, you know, DeMar DeRozan and the Batman and Robin thing, and is my best buddy, and they truly are great friends, and I would say they probably texted each other a lot since the deal went down. Here's the thing: you're a pro, you got to put the uniform on, you got to suit up, and I recall the day, the night that the Raptors traded away their back floor, and Kyle Lowry became the guy, and I just recall how the eyes lit up, and he's a competitive guy, and I just know that I think, you know, again, once it starts to suit up, I think he's going to love playing with Kawhi Leonard. I think he's going to love playing with Danny Green. So again, he'll probably have his pouty face, but trust me, guys, that's just Kyle. Kyle Lowry is one of the grumpiest dudes around, but he's also, when you get him in a good mood, when you get him away from a lot of things, he's a fascinating character.
I thought he handled his presser wonderfully today. You know, mm-hmm. He was not sour. He wasn't bitter.
No.
He was, for the most part, jovial. He answered questions. I'm not convinced he was 100% genuine, but none of them are when they're up there. They're never going to give you 100% the truth. I thought Kyle kind of put to bed this idea that he's not ready to perform or that it's going to carry over onto the court. Not that I ever expected that it would, but he was clearly rattled. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. He was rattled that DeMar is out. Because it's also a shot at him and his legacy in Toronto. It was proof that everyone knew and everyone understood, including people within the organization, that wasn't good enough. What they've done in past years was not good enough, and they had to make a significant change. And Masai basically said that today. I think Masai, you know, he had his pom-poms out for Toronto, and he was talking about how it's time to move past this idea that no one wants to play here, which is all fine and good. But it's not a reality that narrative is going to come to an end with Kawhi here. Because I think people are conflating the conversation or debate about whether or not we live in a great city as opposed to whether or not people want to play for this team. We all know it's a great city. I love this city. We all love this city. It is an incredible city. But if Kawhi walks at the end of the year, the reputation of the Raptors is going to be at stake. I mean, this is a big, big year for Masai Ujiri. He pulled the trigger on the trade, but now he's got to find a way to make sure that it works and then he can sign Kawhi long-term.
Yeah, he had kind of an answer, like, you know, the gambler who still isn't sure what he's got in his deck. But I thought, honestly, I thought Masai Ujiri was pissed off today in many ways. I just thought that, you know, he kind of was listening to question after question after question. And I understand that's a question that has to be asked. A lot of those questions were legitimate questions in the press conference about, you know, Kawhi Leonard. And I think everybody was wanting Kawhi Leonard to have some sort of testimony and admission that he's going to be living in Toronto. And I know that he's bought a house in Toronto, allegedly, and I know all of those things. But I think everybody was also thinking, well, okay, say it, Kawhi, say it. Well, he's not going to say it, you know? And I think that's Masai just kind of said, okay, enough, let's get on with it. And the questions were kind of getting to him. But I agree with you totally. I mean, it was a big gamble. But I really honestly believe, guys, it's a gamble that this franchise at the time had to make. Mm-hmm. If you go back to 4 months ago when we were talking about what do they do next, who would have thought Kawhi Leonard would have been able to fall into their lap and they would have been able to do what they're able to do and they're getting a great player? Would they still have traded DeMar DeRozan if Kawhi Leonard wasn't available? I'm not sure. But you still have to move on. Otherwise, you become this team every year that constantly knocks at the door but never kicks it down. I have a feeling, and you know, I listened to Greg Monroe today, and I think people should talk a little bit about him, too, because I think he's going to be an X factor on this team. But he thinks that this team, and he hasn't even played with them yet, has an opportunity to get to the NBA Finals. And I think that's it. I think that's why Masai Ujiri did it. He's in it to win it.
Rod, who has the most pressure on them coming into the season? Is it the coach? Is it Kawhi? Is it, like, who in your mind has to either perform on the court or coach this team? Or is it Masai? Like, where's the pressure point coming in?
That's a good one. And I think there is obviously pressure in the front office, but I think, you know, there's obviously pressure on Nick Nurse. That's a tough move going from one seat over. And, you know, I asked Nick today, I did an interview with him, and because I know he, you know, was under Dwayne for the last few years, and he has been the reason why they've had offensive success. He helped change, you know, the culture offensively with the three-point shot and the way they move the basketball. And it's a big move, obviously, for Nick Nurse. I think he's ready for the challenge. But, you know, if they get off to a bad start, if they, you know, 59 wins, I think that's going to be hard to attain, to get over 60 this year, to do even better than they did. It's, and that's not going to be the measuring stick. It'll be playoffs. But I do think it's on Nick Nurse. And suddenly, you know, Dwayne Casey, who was, you know, seemed to have this love-in with Raptor fans and even some Raptor media, I think, you know, he's down the road in Detroit. And I thought it was very cryptic when I said to Nick, I said, have you talked to Dwayne this summer? And he said, no, not at all. I thought, you know, you would have thought maybe the coaches would have even said congratulations, but nothing. And so this is the Nick Nurse era as well. And I think there is some pressure, but I think he's capable. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's a smart man. And I know one thing, you guys are going to love talking to him. The media is going to love talking to him because he is a guy who speaks the truth. What he says lives.
Roddy, before we let you go, do you ever start your day looking at Leo Routon's morning coffee motivational tips on Twitter?
So, hey, where is my boy, by the way? Was he in Florida today? Because I did not see him today. I'm sure he sends me pictures, by the way, guys. He sends me naked pictures. I got to be honest with you. I hope we're not live right now. But they're naked pictures of his legs pointed out to the ocean every day because he does live in Florida in the off season.
But do you live and die by nuts. The motivational coffee picks in the morning?
Motivational. What was his motivational coffee this morning?
I don't know. Just be true to yourself.
It only takes one person to change your life.
And Roddy, you change our life, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, you know what? The best thing I will tell you, Leo does have a lot of them. I'll give you one thing. And I thought this is a really good one. And this might pertain to the Raptors season this year. And O-Dog and Noodles, you know this because you played the game at the highest level, which none of us have been able to do. And we,
by
think
the
we
way,
all know
we love when you say that and exclude Brian.
It just is crushing. It crushes my soul.
Oh, no, Hazy, you played it at that level.
That's
higher
right,
than
man.
A lot of us have ever played.
That's right, man.
I think this is a great comment, and I read it from Leo one day, and he uses it a lot because he does a lot of coaching. And it's a good one. Who you are in the fire is who you are.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm still trying
to
figure it out, but when I do, guys, I'm gonna get to you.
If you stick your hand up a bull's ass, you can tell about the steak or something like that. Chris Farley,
the top. If you want to see a T-bone, you could stick your head up a butcher's ass.
That's I want you to start your own motivational quotes and use all of that stuff. That would get my day off to a better start.
You know it.
What is it? If you want to see a T-bone, you can stick your head up a bull's ass.
But wouldn't you rather ask the butcher?
I've been up there a few times, but I've never seen a T-bone. I'll just tell you guys that.
All right, buddy. Thanks for doing
this,
Rod.
Take care, man. Always great talking to you. Can't wait to get the season going.
You got it, man. There he is, Rod Black from the NBA on TSN.
Beauty. If you want to see a T-bone,
you could stick your head up
a butcher's ass.
Hey, I tell you what. You can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? What?
That's
just
awesome.
Shocking off.
Oh my
Tommy
God.
Boy on the road.
Just selling car parts.
Brake pads, man. Got to get them in. Got to sell those brake pads. That was shot here in Toronto, down
really?
On the lakeshore. Yeah, the Callahan. I think that was down in the distillery, back before the distillery became like posh.
Rob Lowe and a Bo Derek.
Think about the work they were doing in Toronto.
Yeah.
Back in, what was that, mid-90s, I guess? They were still on SNL. Like, Farley and Spade were still on SNL.
Yeah, big stars.
Probably 93, 94.
Awesome.
Tiger Woods went off yesterday. The Leafs are in action tonight. The Jays are in action tonight.
We got to get into this mascot, too.
Yes, okay. There's a new mascot in Philly.
Why?
We'll touch on it next. TSN 1050 wants to make you an honorary coach at the 2018 Hager Hockey Hall of Fame Legends Classic, November 11th at Scotiabank Arena. Go to tsn1050.ca and enter for your chance to win, and you can stand behind the bench of Team Balfour and Team Grant Fuhr. How about that, Noodles?
Saw that.
Yes, get exclusive access and tickets. Overdrive will announce the winner on October 9th. Listeners can save 25% off tickets by using the promo code TSN18 at Ticketmaster.ca. It's a Maple Leaf game night tonight. Preseason game number 5 tonight.
Five, yeah.
Leafs Habs. You can hear the game right here on TSN Radio. The Tapman and Greg Gilbert will have you covered pregame, postgame, and in between periods. Apparently, Carl Subban is going to be in the house. And in studio with the Tap Man in between the second and third.
Maybe they will fire up one of our original segments,
a
something
yes
called Yes Guy, No Guy.
Weegee, non gee.
They're going to get Carl. The Tap Man's just going to just hammer him with questions, you think?
Well, Jordan is playing tonight, I believe, but he's not making the team.
No.
So, really, you just kind of got to get that out of the way and then get to PK, basically. Don't you?
The Subban.
Malcolm Subban's in the league, too. There's three brothers that play at a really high level.
Yeah. It's a talented family. So, I mean, you can get to that. You can get to, you know, how they were coming up. The
sibling rivalries.
Wow. Sibling rivalry. And
anyway.
You know, PK's the guy. But, you know, Malcolm's got a chance to be a pretty good goaltender.
Yeah, he's still in Vegas, right?
Yep.
So
he'll be their number two.
Yeah.
He had some injury issues last year. But a talented family.
So we've been teasing this mascot down in Philly.
I know.
They unveiled the new mascot today, the Flyers. Mascot's name is Gritty.
Which is cool.
That's kind of a cool name. What species is the mascot?
Though? It's Jacob Voracek as a Muppet. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a Muppet.
But
it is a Muppet.
What I always wonder about situations like this is, like, you have these different people running the marketing.
Like designers. People paid a lot of money.
So this is the guy that walked into a room and all of the higher-ups looked at Gritty and said, that's the guy.
That's the one.
Do you think Ron Hextall cares at all about who the mascot is?
I don't know, but if I was a GM, I'd be like, I don't.
Why would the GM have any say?
But if you look at the Philadelphia Phillies and the guy from the Expos, they're extremely popular within the baseball community.
Yeah.
Like, massively.
Although, here's why I think this is a great idea. We do a radio show in Toronto. I couldn't care less about Philly. I haven't mentioned the names Claude Giroux, Sean Gostisbehere. I haven't mentioned anybody, but we've talked about the mascot.
This mascot blew up Twitter today. So
exactly.
Job
it
one
works.
Accomplished.
It's a great move.
Mission one accomplished.
Exactly.
The whole hockey world sent out a tweet about the mascot.
And mascots are not for adults. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not. It's like going to Wonderland. You go there for your
kids.
Well,
they basically are, Brian, because it's majority adults in the building.
But
that's not
that
true.
Mascot.
They're always kids.
True.
They're always kids, though, kicking around. And kids love a mascot. You got three kids. You're telling me your
daughter. You know how many times I've taken them to a professional sporting event? One's 9 years old.
You go all the time. Every single year you take them to Leafs games. You still go to games.
One a year. Is that go to games?
The Leafs have that polar bear.
They play 41.
And you know how many times they said to me, where's Carlton the Bear? Never.
I'll guarantee if Carlton walked by them, they'd be intrigued by Carlton. You're telling me they'd be like, get the hell out of here, Carlton. I'm watching the game. A six-year-old kid. There's no way your daughters care more about the game than they do Carlton the Bear.
But who cares? They go once a year.
But that's one of 41. The other 40 games, there's other kids in the house.
My kids love the Wiggles.
You're wrong.
And there's that Dorothy the dinosaur. There's always, you know, Wags the dog. Like, I think mascots can serve for kids. But this one, I don't know what it is. And it does look like a Muppet.
We need an Overdrive mascot. What would ours be?
Joe from the Bridge.
It probably would be Joe from the Bridge.
A guy in a black Adidas track suit with those Italian ninja shoes on.
Yeah, one piece.
And a gold chain and a Leaf hat and a just an awful rug. I don't know.
That's about it, man. Joe from the Bridge. It's not this guy. It's not Gritty the Muppet from Philly.
All I could think of was the Swedish chef from the Muppets, even though it doesn't even look like him.
Yeah, it kind of has that vibe to
it. And
yeah, they don't care, man. They got people buzzing. We're up here in Toronto talking about Gritty the mascot.
There are some great mascots out there. There was that mascot on the weekend, I think, or was it late last week, that shot himself in the groin with the
balls, with the thing.
It backfired. He shot, and it malfunctioned, and he took one right in the pills.
Carted him off.
That's when you know it was a direct shot.
What about the guy that shot the hot dogs out into the crowd, and he hit a lady right in the eye socket with a dog?
She had to have surgery, yes, I believe.
And I think she sued.
Well, she should.
Of course she did. It's a must-sue situation.
Whatever came out of that.
I don't know. I think she's okay in the end. I bet you they had to give her some money.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. And you then, take a hot dog in the eye? I mean, that's not in the fine print.
I was in Calgary when Mac T pulled the tongue off of Harvey the Hound.
Yeah.
Harvey the Hound
isn't going to sue the Edmonton Oilers.
No, but he was being a jackass. He shouldn't have been over the glass.
Exactly. Harvey the Hound was in the wrong.
Mascots do cross the line sometimes. I just kept rolling.
No, the guy's rifling hot dogs, and how do you... Did you ever see the meme of the lady at the, I think it was a Duke basketball game, where she's got glasses on and just not paying attention, and the ball just...
That happens almost every year.
Yeah.
That happened to Jason Day's wife. She,
really?
It was
a golf ball?
No, it was a player. It was a basketball player. She was in Cleveland. It might have been LeBron. LeBron, like, laid her out. He was courtside, and I think it was LeBron, like, went diving for a ball before it went out of bounds. Like, shoulder to chest, Clay Matthews type, throw up the flag, 15 yards,
not
you're
good.
Out. Time now for our best bets, brought to you by ProLine. Loving the Steelers tonight.
No.
In Tampa.
Don't believe that and don't bet it.
I'm taking the props. Over the number, Big Ben goes off tonight. Total passing yards. Over the number, Smith-Schuster in terms of receptions. Over the number, Mike Evans in terms of receiving. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game tonight. Throw down 20, score 90. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. We're off tomorrow because we're at the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame event tomorrow
night.
If you're
be
lucky
amazing.
Enough to have tickets, we can't wait. We're all going to be there tomorrow night.
But on Wednesday,
we're back at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.